Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to worship you tonight. We honor you. We celebrate you. You are a great and awesome God, powerful beyond measure. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. And thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us to sit under the ministry of your word. May you bless every person that is listening today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Welcome to the broadcast today. My name is Pastor Kenny Mukwena, and it's time for you to experience the blessing. We are starting a new series today. I'm so excited about this series, A Season of Great Favor. I believe with all my heart that there is a special move of the anointing of God that is being ushered right now, and I want to encourage you as we delve into the word today to open your heart to receive the grace of God. The grace of God is so powerful. You know, the Bible defines grace as unmerited favor, but I want us to zoom in and focus on the favor of God. And our main text is John 3:16-17. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So I want us to look at a few things in John 3:16 as we zoom in and talk about a season of great favor. I didn't say a season of favor. It's a season of great favor. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Romans 5:17, it says that if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in this life by Christ Jesus. So it's not just a season of favor. It's a season of great favor. That is why the Apostle Paul says much more. Those who receive the abundance of grace. You see, there is an emphasis of much more and also the abundance of grace. It's not just grace. It's not just favor, but it is great favor. You are going to love this message. I don't know where you are right now, but as we have this conversation, I want you to open your heart. I want you to believe God for great things in your life. I want you to believe God that this is the season and the hour for the manifestation of his power like never before. Man, I believe with all my heart that God is dispensing his favor and his goodness right now. Man, favor, when it comes on you, your life cannot be the same. So in John 3:16, the Bible shows us that God loved the world in this manner. That word "so" in it says "for God so." That word "so" is the Greek word autos. It's autos. It means in this manner. I used to think when the Bible says "for God so loved the world," it means God loved the world so much. I thought that "so" is an amplification of the size of the love of God. But let me tell you something. That definition of autos, it tells us how God loved us, that he gave his only begotten Son. You need to understand the context of the Son of God, how God sees his Son. Everything is summed up in Jesus. If you look at creation, for instance, the Bible tells us that in Christ all things consist. So when he gave us his Son Jesus, he gave us everything. That's how much he loves us. That is why Romans 8:32, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, "He who did not spare his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ also, freely give us all things?" The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:19, he says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So everything that consists of creation, it's summed up in Jesus. And the Bible says, "For God loved us in this manner, that he gave his only begotten Son." Underline that. Now, when we look at John 3:16, we see the duality of Christ's ministry. The first part talking about his death, because when it says God loved us in this manner, what manner is that? It's the manner that Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And then after the comma, it says that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The interesting thing about after the comma, it says whoever believes. It doesn't just say so that whoever shall not perish but have everlasting life. It says whoever believes. Underline that. So the whoever it's like someone without an identity, someone with a name, without a name. But the moment he believes, that person is identified with Christ. Now he has an identity in Christ. And I want you to see something very important here. You know, John 3:16 is so loaded. Very, very loaded. And if you can look at it and understand how loaded it is and receive the revelation that I'm bringing to you today, you will understand that the favor of God is working in your life. It cannot be otherwise. Things are going to work out. Things are going to turn around to work together for your good. So it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're talking about a season of great favor. This is the season that I believe God is ushering right now. We just celebrated the Passover not so long ago. You must understand that the Passover, God said to the children of Israel, this month shall be the beginning of months. So what God was saying is that forget about what you have been through. Forget about what has happened in your life. It's a new season. So every time we celebrate Passover, you must know that it's a new season. You know, God is showing us life beyond the cross. When you get into Passover, your mindset should be, things are changing in my life. Things are becoming better in my life. Why? Because we are being ushered into the life of the Christ himself, the very life of God. Hallelujah. So the part that says whosoever believes in him, and then it says should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you look at John 3:16 shows us actually six role players, with one of the role players being passive, and that is the world. So show us first God, and then the world, and then his only begotten son. So it's three role players before the comma and three role players after the comma. So it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We've got three role players before the comma. We've got God, we've got the world, and we've got his only begotten son. But on the other part, which is so important, that's where we want to draw a message of favor from. It says that whosoever, so that's the fourth role player, whosoever, and then it says whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the fifth personality or character or role player in John 3:16 is hidden in the word perish. And then the last one is in the word everlasting life. If you look at that word perish, the Greek word for the word perish, it's apoletai. Apoletai. It means to kill, to destroy, and to lose. To kill, to destroy, and to lose. So here, the Bible says that whoever believes in him should not perish. And the second part after the comma of John 3:16, it now tells us Jesus' ministry currently, because Jesus has two ministries. The first one was his death. He came to earth, the main function, the main purpose of his coming. The primary purpose of his coming was to die for our sins. That is why he said he came to be the propitiation for our sins. That was his first primary ministry. But his second primary ministry, we see it after his death. That is why if you look at where it says whoever believes in him should not perish, you needed to believe in him after he resurrected, not after he died or before he died. No. After he resurrected. That is why if you look at his relationship with the disciples, it was only after his resurrection that he breathed on the Holy Spirit, on the disciples, and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And there are many scriptures that shows us that, for instance, the authority of the believer before they were born again, because the disciples of Jesus, when they were with him, they were not born again. I'm not saying they were sinners. I'm saying they were not born again, because to be born again, you need to receive the life of Christ. So he must die first. And then for the New Testament to be ushered in, the Bible in the book of Hebrews 9:17, it tells us that the testament is not in force until men are dead. So meaning that the testator has to die first for the New Testament to be ushered in. So our salvation as Christians, it comes from the New Testament. The New Testament is effective only after Christ died and resurrected. So understand that part, that the disciples of Jesus were not born again. They walked with him. And that is why if you look at, for instance, in I think it's in Luke chapter 9, where he gave them the authority to cast out devils. The Bible says he gave them authority. It's not authority that they have. They had. He gave them authority. But there's a difference between us. If you look at Luke 9, for instance, he says to them, all power and all authority has been given to me. And then he says, go, therefore, and cast out devils and heal the sick. But in Matthew 28, after now he resurrected, he says to them, all authority and all power has been given to me. And then it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. It doesn't say I give you authority. Why? Because now he's saying authority will now dwell in the inside of you. I will come and I will take residence in the inside of you. So understand John 3:16 from that context. So it says that whoever believes in him should not perish. So that word perish is apolitai. It is the devil concealed. The devil is always concealed. You need to understand that every person who perishes, he perishes because of the devil. Apolitai represent the devil. You find that also in John 10:10. And John 10:10 also shows us something very important. It shows us in the sequence of perish and everlasting life. John 10:10 says the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it says, but I have come that you may have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. So an overflowing life is a life of favor. Hallelujah. So he says that whoever believes in him should not perish. So when you believe in Jesus, you do not perish, but you have everlasting life. Underline that you have everlasting life. Everlasting life is not just to live forever. That is everlasting or eternal. It's eternal. It doesn't mean the life of God. Does not mean Zoe, because everlasting life is the word, is the word Zoe, which means the unique life of God, the divine life of God, the very life of God, the uncreated life of God. That is what Zoe is. So when Jesus says in John 10:10, he came for us to have life, he says to have Zoe, but have it in abundance. Now, that's the favor of God. When Jesus Christ came and he gave us that life, when you receive Christ, you receive favor upon your life. When you receive Christ, you terminate the effects of apolitai. Understand also how people perish. If you are listening to me today and you are not born again, this is now what happens. You are perishing. The only way you can terminate perish and the effects of apolitai in your life is by receiving Jesus and make him the Lord of your life. Then you terminate apolitai. This is also how Jesus terminated apolitai, because when he died on the cross, on the third day he rose again. So the devil thought he was perishing, but on the third day he defeated death. That is what we are going through even right now on earth. Every person who's not born again is under the effect of apolitai. He's perishing. That person is being loosed. But now, if a person receives Jesus, apolitai is terminated. But if the person does not receive Jesus and then he dies, that person now become completely lost. That person has perished. But now the Bible says that whoever believes in him will not, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is the very life of God. It is a life of favor. I want to tell you today that the life of favor is available for you in Jesus Christ. The life of favor, it is the very life of God. It is the order that God puts upon you. When you look at the Bible in the book of Isaiah 61 verse 2 in the New Living Translation says, Jesus says, he has sent me, talking about God, he has sent me to tell those who mourn, those who go through a sense of loss, those who are affected by the circumstances of life. He says, he has sent me to tell them that the time of the favor of the Lord has come. And this is what I prophesy over your life, that the time of the favor of God has come. This is the season. This is the moment designated. This is your Kairos moment for you to experience the favor of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 102:13, for you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. And then it says, and yes, the time, the favor of the Lord has come. Yet the set time has come. I prophesy and I declare upon your life today that the favor of God has come upon your life. The favor of God is God's delight. It's God's goodwill and God's pleasure. It is, you know, when the favor of God comes upon you, people's attitude towards you, they change completely. Favor means to endorse, to approve of, to advantage, to empower, to support, to back up, to cover and to shield. And this is what you have in God today. Believe that God is endorsing you. God is putting his splendor upon you right now. Wherever they rejected you, I prophesy and I declare that there is a turnaround, there is a change in your life. In the name of Jesus, I declare favor upon your life. You have everlasting life. You have the very life of God. You have Zoe operating in your life. Rise up from wherever you are. Rise up from your depression and your anxiety and believe that when Jesus died on the cross and you said, yes, something has taken place in your life. This is life beyond Calvary. After Jesus died, he gave us an empowerment. Hallelujah. We are going to continue with this message next week. I hope this message has been a blessing to you. If you are listening to me today and you are not born again, you have not given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you right now, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and he rose again on the third day, and then make this prayer with me. Believe in your heart and make this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Today, I give you my life. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I make you my Lord and my Savior. If you made that prayer, you are born again. I will see you in heaven. God bless you.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564 or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.